Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Samina Spin. I'm your host, Samina Mughal. Hope everyone is well this fine Wednesday evening. Welcome to episode 17, Sacrificial Lambs. From the title, you can guess I'm talking about sacrifice. And put your spin on this topic. The number to call is 21775. Again, that number to call is 323-642-1775. All right, let's get into it. So I sit down before I do my podcast. I sit down and I figure out what I want to talk about. It's probably a good idea. So when I came upon this topic, when I started thinking about sacrifice, I thought about, there are many layers to sacrifice. What are those layers? And is that something we really want to do in our lives? Sacrifice? Maybe. An interesting quote for you related to sacrifice. It is a far, far better thing that I've ever done. It is a far, far better rest I go to than I have ever known. This is Sidney Carton in A Tale of Two Cities when he's about to go to the guillotine. So he's sacrificing his life for someone else. I'll get to that in a minute. So we have those kinds of sacrifices. We sacrifice different things at different times. So I'm going to talk about that today. And we see sacrifice a lot. We see it a lot in the stories we read and the stories we hear. One of my favorite stories about sacrifice is The Gift of the Magi. You have this poor couple from maybe the 1920s, might be earlier than that, but it's an older story. You have this poor couple, and the husband has a job, but he had to take a pay cut, so he doesn't have that much money. The husband's name is Jim. The wife's name is $0.87. She looks at the $1.87 and is disappointed because she doesn't have enough money to buy a Christmas present for her husband, Jim. And Jim has this same dilemma. So they think about it and they think about it. How are they going to get a gift for someone they love? And what are they going to get? So they scrounge up some money, different sacrifices. Jim sacrifices a family heirloom, an old watch. He sells it and gets these beautiful combs for Della because Della takes pride in her hair. And he knew she would love these combs, and they're beautiful combs. He presents these to her. Before I'm getting ahead of myself, Della actually cuts off her hair to buy Jim a chain for his pocket watch. So they're both very excited. They're excited that they were able to get their love a gift. So they present these gifts to each other. Presents her gift to Jim, the chain, and he shakes his head, and she's afraid. Oh, you don't like it? You don't like it? And she's afraid of that. And then, of course, he sees that her hair's cut off, and she's freaking out even more. And then they realize that, okay, these gifts are pretty useless at this point. But at the end of the story, the author says they are the Magi. The Magi, if you recall, are the wise men who presented gifts to Jesus. They didn't have much, but they gave him what they had. It's the same thing with that couple. They didn't have much, but they gave each other what they had. And if you think about it, it's not that big of a sacrifice. Okay, she cuts off her hair. The hair grows back. He gives up a family watch. But he's more concerned with making the woman that he loves happy. So at the end of the day, they sacrifice these material objects for a greater good, their love. It's kind of silly at the end of the day because it's all material objects anyway. But the whole intent behind it is to show their love for one another. Their love for the other person is more important than their most valuable possession. To me, that's noble. That is a noble sacrifice. Now, I just talked about Sidney Carton from A Tale of Two Cities. So they are in France. The characters are in France during the French Revolution. So three of your major characters are Lucie Manette, Sidney Carton, and Charles Darnay. Now, the strange thing about Sidney Carton and Charles Darnay is that they're not related to each other at all, but they resemble each other. They look exactly like one another. So it's a long book. They have their trials and tribulations. Sidney Carton finds himself in love with Lucie Manette, but alas, she's in love with Charles Darnay. It's an old story. Somebody loves somebody, but they love somebody else. So Sidney Carton, even though Lucie Manette loves Charles Darnay, still loves Lucie Manette. He still loves her. As time goes on, the French Revolution heats up, and Charles Darnay is in the middle of it, manages to get himself caught up so much, he's scheduled to be beheaded. This is a problem, of course, because he's married to Lucy and they have a child together. So Lucy's flipping out, of course, because she's about to lose her husband. Now, Sidney Carton actually volunteers to go to the guillotine in place of Charles Darnay. He figures, well, at the end of the day, it is kind of a self-worth thing, but he figures, he has a wife and a child. I'll go in his place. And he loses his head. Now, to me, I do have somewhat of an issue with him not deeming his own life valuable enough to spare it, that he gives it up for someone else. But at the end, he gives it up for someone that he loves. Because he knows that Lucy obviously would be devastated by losing her husband. So it doesn't matter to him that she doesn't love him back. He loves her. So he will make this sacrifice for someone that he loves. So that's somewhat of a noble sacrifice. So now we get into sketchier sacrifices. One of my favorite short stories of all time is The Eclipse by Augusto Monterroso. Check it out. It's actually really short, but it's really profound. So it takes place in a Mayan jungle. You have a missionary, Brother Bartolome Arizola. He's in the jungle, and he has somewhat noble intentions, but then he wakes up to find a bunch of Mayans circling him who want to do dastardly things with him. Well, they want to do one dastardly thing with him. They want to kill him. They want to sacrifice him. Now, Brother Bartolome Arizola while being well-intentioned, he wants to spread the word of God and bring civilization to the heathens, has a clear disdain for them. He has so much of a disdain that he tries to play a trick on them. Oh, they're savages. They won't know either way. They haven't studied Aristotle, which is indicated in the story. They haven't studied Aristotle. They don't know what I know. And what he knows is that there's no way those savages could know that there's an eclipse coming. So he tells them, look, there's this thing happening. There's this eclipse. And if you kill me, you're going to upset the gods. For some ruse along those lines. They look at him like, dude, our astronomers figured that out years ago. We know about this. Doesn't move them to Brother Arizola's disappointment. Doesn't move them. And by the end of the story, Brother Bartolome Arizola's heart spilled its fiery blood on the sacrificial stone. That's the end of him. Now again, that's a bit sketchier. I'm not saying he deserved to be sacrificed in that manner, but his intentions were not that pure and not that noble. He basically had scorn for people he was trying to help and thought he was smarter than they were. He was wrong. So, the next sacrifice story, I won't say it's a favorite. Matter of fact, it's not, but it does remind me of how it's kind of in our faces to sacrifice. It's the story of Rama and Sita. Very famous Hindu legend. Rama is a god. Sita is an avatar of Parvati, I believe. So they love each other. They have this pure love. Until one day, Ravan comes along and kidnaps Sita. Imprisons her for 10 years. And Hanuman and his warriors, they get her back. Sita ends up back with Rama. But not all is good in paradise, because Rama is just a servant to his crown. Rama is the king. He's just a servant to the crown. And the people question Sita's chastity. They've whispered about it. She was gone for 10 years. What do you think she was doing in 10 years? Never mind the fact that she was kidnapped and she didn't choose to be kidnapped. But what was she doing? She was away from her husband for 10 years. She was actually doing nothing. Not to this. But Rama exiled her to his people. So he sacrifices his wife to a degree and his family, because she ends up having twins in exile, for society. What will people say? Times have we heard that, especially Indian folk. How many times have we heard that from our parents? What will people say? So Rama, a king, afraid of what his people will say, exiles his wife, and then his children are born in exile. Somehow Sita comes back. I don't know why she's giving a reprieve. I don't quite remember. But she comes back. Proof of her chastity. Huh. Kidnapped, exiled. And you still, because I'm a woman who was away from my husband for 10 years, you still want my head on a spike. Not literally, but you still want me to prove myself. I've already jumped through hoops to prove myself, and it's still not enough for you. So she basically asks for Mother Earth to embrace her, and she goes in the ground. So there's her sacrifice.
I've always had a problem with that story. So basically, because she's a woman and she has the misfortune of getting kidnapped, she has to be exiled. Rama has to exile her because of his name, her name. And then her choosing to go into the earth. Okay, I suffered enough. Let me just go into the earth. Let me just bury myself. Of course, that's not the overt intent of her burying herself. It's her being so pure and yada, yada, yada. Yeah, you get your purity after you suffer for 10, 20 years. No, no thanks. Now, Indian stories are good for unnecessary sacrifice. I'm sorry. There's sacrifice that's necessary. Like when you have children and you can't buy yourself a sports car because you're paying for your kids to go to college. That's a necessary sacrifice. I get that. Like my parents, I said it in my blog. They ever remember them going out to dinner? Just them two, going to a fancy restaurant, just the two of them. You know why? Because they had eight brats to feed, and they took their responsibility to those eight brats very seriously. And I commend them for that. Now, in some of these Indian stories, oh, it's a whole different ballgame. I remember watching certain movies and reading certain stories, like, really? Does everybody need to die to achieve some sort of righteousness? Come on. One of my favorite Hindi movies. Mind you, this is one of my favorite Hindi movies. Devdas. Rich boy, poor girl. They fall in love. They can't be together. The rich boy's mama insults poor girl. She's Paro. So it's Devdas and Paro. So she insults Paro. Paro's mother gets pissed off and says, you know what? If I don't get my daughter married off to somebody richer than you within 7 days, on the eighth day, you're going to have my dead body. Oh, my goodness. Drama, drama, drama. True to her word, she marries Paro off to this rich guy. Now, mind you, before that, Paro was a little resistant. But then Devdas is like, oh, why don't you just go ahead and marry someone else? I can't remember what his reasoning was at the time, but just go ahead and marry. So it was a quote-unquote noble reason, I imagine. Or he was just a selfish, capricious character. It might have been that too, but whatever. That's neither here nor there. But then he changes his mind and comes back on Paro's wedding day and says, look, I'm back, and I'm back for good. And then Paro's like, she still loves the guy. She still loves him. No, you humiliated my family. Your family humiliated my family. They have honor. I'm not going to dishonor them by running off with you. Then she gets to her married house. Her husband, it turns out, is a widower and only got married because his mother pushed him to get married. And then they end up having a chaste marriage. So there's sacrifice to go around in this story. For what? To save face? All of it in some way, shape, or form is to save face. Is to not be in the eyes of the community. Oh my goodness, I had an aunt who was always worried about her community. Used to drive all of us nuts. But what people will do for the sake of their community? What? So basically, Devdas and Paro lose out on love because everybody's trying to save face. Paro's husband loses out on another opportunity for love because he can't forget his departed wife. So it's just this whole theme of sacrifice for pretty much nothing. And then, of course, Devdas drinks himself to death. And then has himself put on Paro's doorstep as he dies. It does sound like a melodramatic mess, but it actually is one of my favorite movies. But getting back to the sacrifice portion, it was sacrifice for no real good reason. These two people sacrificed their love for one another, and they never stopped loving each other. So what's the point? You make yourself more noble by being miserable? Yeah. Then there's another Bollywood movie. So Dev Das, I don't know if I mentioned, is a Bollywood movie. There's another Bollywood movie, Mother India. Now, mind you, Mother India was nominated for Best Foreign Film Oscar sometime in the 50s, I want to say 1955. But again, it's another woman sacrificing for her family, for the greater good, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And mind you, she's a poor woman. The ones who are really encouraged to sacrifice are the poor. Never forget that. So this poor woman in a village, she's like the belle of the village. She marries some guy. Guy's cut off in a farming accident. And then he disappears. So she loses her husband. In two ways, she loses her husband. So she's got to figure it out. She has sons. One of her sons is some sort of revolutionary. She ends up losing him. So sacrifice upon sacrifice, misery upon misery. And what does she get as a reward? When she's about 80 years old, she gets the title Mother of the Village as her reward. And as a matter of fact, that's where the movie starts off. She's kind of blasé about it. And then her son, the one son that she has left, is the mother, what's wrong, da-da-da. And then so that, he goes to flashback, back to flashbacks of her life. And the dead husband and the dead son. And the reward for all of that sacrifice and all of the misery, again, mother of the village. Are you kidding me? So smile through your pain and you will be rewarded. I don't think so. So yes, so like I said, there are noble sacrifices, but then there are other sacrifices. It's kind of like, what are you sacrificing for? Many times it's not even for a really good reason. Now, my personal sacrifices, to be honest with you, haven't been that huge. Because I'm all about being happy, and if it doesn't make me happy, I don't do it. So I'm not a big person on sacrifice. I'm really not. Why should I be miserable? Especially for a dumb reason like, what will people think of me? I don't care what anybody thinks of me because nobody pays my bills. So there you have it. So I'm not big on sacrifice, but I have made sacrifices. Like my time, for example. I've gone on futile missions for unappreciative, is that even a word, unappreciative? Unappreciative people sacrifice my time, put a lot of effort into people who don't really give a shit at the end of the day. But I thought I was doing something noble. No, I wasn't. I was just being manipulated and didn't realize it. So, yeah, you know, so I've sacrificed my time, gone on missions, like I said, that were ridiculous. You know, gave up. I actually had a new job that I took a day off early from. Like, I was early in the job. You shouldn't be taking off days off when you've just started a job. So, but I took a day off to help somebody out. And at the end of the day, it was really, really stupid. It was for a stupid reason, but I felt compelled. I felt obligated. Damned if I do something like that again. One big sacrifice that I made that I don't regret, because I think regret is useless, is when I was in college and I made a decision based on my relationship at that time. Now, I'm not throwing my boyfriend at the time, I'm not throwing him under the bus, because he doesn't even know that I did this. He has no idea about this. But I remember when I was in college, even in college, I had this travel bug. and I love to travel. And I actually considered studying abroad. It was something I was interested in. But what did I do? I didn't discuss it with my boyfriend. I immediately talked myself out of studying abroad. And why? Because I didn't want to be apart from him. Which, as I look back on it, is silly. Because whatever is meant to be is going to be. Me leaving for 6 months when I'm 20 years old, when you look at it, is not going to be irrevocable in my life. I'm either supposed to be with him or I'm not. And if that's the thing that breaks us up, then that's the thing that breaks us up. But I lost out. Now, this is not a material object that I gave up, because if it was a material object, I wouldn't give a shit. But I gave up on it. I gave up on an experience, an opportunity for growth, something that satisfies my soul, because I was afraid of separation. So I made that sacrifice. And as I look back on it, I can't change it. I don't regret it. If I knew then, famous last words, if I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have done that. I would have just rolled the dice, and if we were meant to be, we were meant to be. Turns out we weren't meant to be eventually, but maybe we would have found out sooner if I had gone abroad, or maybe we wouldn't have. But I won't. I'll never know, because I didn't make that choice. I just chose to sacrifice something I wanted to do. And that's okay, because I don't do those kinds of things anymore, and nor will I. Because like I said, noble sacrifice. Like, I'm not going to buy a beach house and my kid won't go to college. I won't do that. But if it's something that satisfies my soul, that's what I'm going to do. But when I do have children, providing for them will satisfy my soul. And like with anything else in life, if you want to sacrifice something great that satisfies your soul, go ahead. But don't do it to satisfy someone's ego. If you liked what you've heard in this podcast and would like to hear more, I have 2 books available on Amazon, The Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo and Scheherazade's Daughters. I also have a blog, Behind and Beyond the Veil. Check it out. Until next time, good night and love and light.